All right, we're going to do something of analysis on this episode of the Razor Sharp podcast. Bear in mind, I am going to actually try to upload an audio version of this to Substack. Today's topic is going to be the Durham investigation into Michael Sussman and Ronald Jaffe, or Rodney Jaffe, who is the tech executive that Durham is claiming may have aided the Clinton campaign through lawyer Michael Sussman in spying on Donald Trump as a candidate and as the president. And the reason that I'm covering this is because you can use this story as an excellent introduction into how the media will try to show you a story and then tell you that what's actually happening is the exact opposite of the facts that are involved in the case. So, for those of you that don't know, last year there was a lawyer named Michael Sussman who was indicted for concealing his clients to the FBI during their investigation of the Russia, the Steele dossier. I would say basically John Durham has been involved in investigating the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation and certain illegal activities around it, such as the FISA warrants and perhaps illegal surveillance. And this particular episode would cover that category, illegal surveillance, meaning that you have, in this case, a private entity spying on a government entity, spying on potential classified information, and sharing it with a hostile actor, in this case a private actor, the Clinton campaign or the Clinton campaign's lawyer. And this is in slight contrast to other episodes within this whole saga that have happened, which are government entities spying on private individuals. These are individuals like Carter Page, who was basically spied on by, I believe it was the CIA and other NATO or Five Eyes intelligence services, and the FBI. You have George Papadopoulos, similar situation. And you also have certain other persons within the Trump campaign. And people just kept getting roped in. So you had people like Robert Manafort, the former Trump campaign chair. I think he was the chair or whatever you call the person who was the head of the Trump campaign. So he was spied on by the FBI, another national security organizations. And you also had, in sort of an indirect manner, both Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of President Trump, and Donald Trump Jr., who were surveilled using the Trump Tower meeting, in which a Clinton campaign operative, I think her name was, I actually don't remember her name, but it was a Ukrainian woman, or actually it was a former attorney from Russia who met with the Trump campaign in Trump Tower and proposed to them some sort of deal where they would waive the Magnitsky Act in exchange for dirt on the Clinton campaign from Putin, and they were turned down. But because the meeting itself was basically a bogus entrapment scheme, this is what's commonly thought of when you ask a person who is on the liberal or democratic side. This is what they generally would say was the intent and conspiracy to cooperate with the Russian government in order to defeat Hillary Clinton, which they call treasonous. In reality, it was a basically an entrapment scheme in which Manafort and Donald Trump Jr. essentially ended up turning it down. So those are the other types. So those are types of surveillance where it's the government spying on a private individual. In this case, the case that Durham is apparently talking about right now, it's private entities, law firms, and a tech company that are sharing and spying on the government. So how has the media responded to this? Well, Vanity Fair wrote an article called You'll Never Believe It, But Hillary Clinton Did Not, In Fact, Spy on Trump's White House, okay? And they said, according to the filing, Sussman had gotten his information from technology executive Ronald Jaffe, whose company, Neustar, had performed several layered work for the White House. In Durham's estimation, Jaffe and his colleagues had exploited this arrangement by mining certain records for the purpose of gathering derogatory information about Donald Trump. Fox News took this line from Durham's filing and ran with it, claiming Durham said he had found that the Clinton campaign had paid the technology company to infiltrate White House servers. The lack of similar, really baseless claims from the mainstream media led Trump to declare the press refuses to even mention the major crime that took place. This in itself is a scandal. The fact that the story is so big, so powerful, and so important for the future of our nation is getting zero coverage from lamestream is being talked about all over the world. So then she attempts to deflate this by saying that one, Sussman's conversation with the CIA had already been reported last October. So the question should be, why was Michael Sussman, a lawyer for the Clinton campaign, even talking to the CIA, right? Where is the impetus for this? Because if this is an attorney for a presidential campaign who is supposedly only involved in legal activities that are pertaining to representing the campaign, why reach out to an intelligence agency in any case? Two, Durham never once said anything about the White House being infiltrated. So that's merely being very anal about it. Saying, oh, he didn't actually use the word infiltrated. Well, you can infer based on what's being described, whether it is infiltration or not. Whether you want to actually use the term or not is really a curiosity. So that this is what Vanity Fair is doing. This is what all the fact checkers do. They get hung up on definitions because they think that you're too stupid to realize that they're building a whole barn behind a massive curtain. And in the meantime, all they're saying is ignore what's happening behind the curtain. They think you're too stupid to look behind. Three, the special counsel also never claimed the Clinton campaign had paid Jaffe's company. Well, okay, so maybe they weren't paid, but they nevertheless shared the information with Michael Sussman. So whatever Jaffe's company received in return or did not receive in return is irrelevant to the fact that apparently Rodney Jaffe helped to share information that could be used to paint the Trump campaign in a negative light or Donald Trump, the president, in a negative light, sharing it with the Clinton campaign. And the allegation, insofar as the Durham filing indicates, is that he was expecting a position should Hillary Clinton get into the White House. So that's not payment that can be delivered if she never gets in. These are exercises in, I guess, denying the logic of events, right? So the payment would have been a position within the Clinton administration should she have been elected, which did not end up happening. So of course, other forms of payment did not ensue. Maybe Jaffe did not cover his bases, which is his problem. But the fact of the matter is He transferred the information, and whatever he received in return is a secondary concern. And finally, her last point, the Vanity Fair article author, I think her name is Jill Levin. So she writes, perhaps most importantly, the filing never said the White House data that came under scrutiny was from the Trump era. In fact, lawyers for the data scientist who helped develop the data analysis in question say this happened during, wait for it, Barack Obama's presidency. So this is another way to, muddle the topic. The fact is that it was not only data from the White House that they mined. According to the Washington Examiner, there were other locations. One of them was Trump Tower. Another one was apparently Alpha Bank, which is within Trump Tower. You also have Trump's Central Park West apartment building and the executive office of the President of the United States. So two other locations pertaining to Trump. So, okay, you want to say that the data mined was not during the Trump presidency? That's also incorrect. It was mined, and it was the data itself dealt with the, I believe, the DNS addresses of certain phones that are of a Russian manufacturing background that happened during the Obama administration. So basically, Sussman had gathered data that these phones had shown up in the vicinity of the White House during the Obama administration. But he had done this during the Trump administration. So this was represented as being an occurrence during the Trump presidency, even though it was not. So that is basically another way that the media is using, semantics, definitions, lies by omission in order to, say, well, there's nothing to see here. So let's recap for just a second. So the first issue was that Sussman's conversation with the CIA had already been reported last October. Okay, so why was he talking to the CIA? He's a lawyer for a presidential campaign. Why should he be? And where, why did this have anything to do with Donald Trump? Right? And why is it that Sussman was sharing information with the CIA, with the FBI, with the Department of Justice as a Clinton campaign lawyer? And that's really the question. So they're saying, oh, it's old news. Well, old news, but you haven't answered the question, why was he doing it? Tu Durham never once said anything about the White House being infiltrated. This is answered by the fact that you're just applying a definition and saying, well, it doesn't mean my definition of infiltrated. Well, we're intelligent enough to see that infiltration is, it's basically something that you can infer from a series of events. And this series of events would suggest that Sussman knew that Jaffe had an end to this information about White House communications, digital communications, and he shared it. He shared it. So this would be, in a manner of speaking, infiltration. And then there's the issue of payment to Jaffe's company. I answer that the payment could not be delivered because what was promised was a position in the Clinton administration if she would have been elected, which did not happen. And four, the filing never said the White House data that came under truth scrutiny was from the Trump era. Well, the answer is that it was data from the Obama era that was misrepresented as happening in the Trump era. So there are two other articles that are very similar. One is from, of course, resident moron Brian Stelter of CNN. And he rehashes some of the same rhetoric, but mostly just going in circles about how this is MAGA media and MAGA world and Republicans and the GOP and bad information or whatever. So it doesn't actually address the topic at heart. It addresses, and he even says that. He tells you to go to the New York Times to get a blow-by-blow coverage of this. New York Times basically says a lot of the same things that I was just telling you about. You know, that there is all of these reasons that this isn't really spying, even though every single attribute of the action of spying occurred here. So, and it's saying, well, he didn't get anything, meaning Sussman or what's his name, Jaffe. So what are you talking about? If he wasn't paid, how could it be spying, right? So these are basically attempts to muddy the waters by asserting that, well, you haven't shown this, you haven't shown X or Y, or whatever. But they have shown all those things. You're just overlooking some of them. You're overlooking that the surveillance was not, this is the most important part, that the surveillance was not only, or I guess the leaking of the information was not of the DNS data. It's called DNS data. The leaking of the DNS data did not only concern the White House, it concerned also Trump Tower and another Trump property. So it's not only a matter of the White House, it's a matter of three locations, two of which are Trump private properties. So how is that not surveillance? To conclude this, okay, this is a little bit of a segment that I'm gonna talk, relating to this, but in a separate vein. What differentiates what's happening right now with the Durham revelations as opposed to what you could consider just baseless speculation? I'll give you an example, okay? So baseless speculation would include certain theories that have been out there about the World Trade Center disaster, the 9/11, including the controlled demolition theory, but based on certain what was called this artist theory. Okay, there was a group of artists, they were from Austria, that went to one of the World Trade Center towers, I think in 1999, and conducted some sort of bizarre experiment, art project, if you want to call it that, and they had certain suspensions that were hanging around in off of the building, and they were doing it for some sort of very avant-garde art exhibit that they were going to show in Austria, and there are photos of them next to this very large wall within the World Trade Center, on which there is a bunch of, I would say impressions with little sticks hanging out. And there were many theorists that after 9/11 pointed to these photos and pointed to this group of people and said that they were some sort of high-tech, super-secret demolition group. But the reality is that it was that they could never actually substantiate any of that. So, okay, great. So this horrible event happened, the September 11th attacks, and they involved some suspicious activity. Granted, there are issues related to World Trade Center 7 that I think we should look into, and both of, also the Twin Towers themselves. How did they come down? And there could be rational explanations that refute the official account. But the thermite theory has never gotten off the ground because it relies on questions that continue to be asked, but answers that are never given. I first found out about it from a guy that I used to know through Facebook who was just ranting about it. And he would just continue asking questions. And I would say to him, yeah, you're very good at asking those questions. Giver tried to actually find the answers, and he can't, he won't discuss that because that's not the point. The point of engaging in conspiracy theories, okay? And I'm trying to minimize my use of the term because I think it's used unfairly for many, many things. The point of engaging in them isn't to get to the bottom of something. It's in order to, I guess, create a mystique around a certain topic. And usually they never end up figuring anything out. There are some exceptions that I think have to be granted. The JFK assassination, right? Because the official narrative doesn't really make much sense. So there are a number of alternative narratives that have to be at least considered concerning why or who killed JFK if it wasn't the lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald. On the other hand, there are certain, I wouldn't call them conspiracy theories, but they're just accusations that are at least worth looking into, but you can't really state for certain whether they actually occurred until you see tangible proof of that. One of the best examples of that, okay, is the accusation by Virginia Giuffre of sexual crimes by Alan Dershowitz, okay, the lawyer. Virginia Giuffre was a victim of Jeffrey Epstein. She was one of the girls that was trafficked, and one of the people that she accuses of being involved in this was Jeffrey Epstein, but that's who I was going to say. But Alan Dershowitz, the attorney, the very high profile Harvard law professor who's retired now, she accuses him of being involved as basically a client of Jeffrey Epstein, of having had sex with I think other women, but having met Virginia Roberts Giuffre at least once. And Alan Dershowitz claims that he's never actually met her in person. And the problem with this, right, you don't have to believe Alan Dershowitz. You don't have to support him personally, and you don't have to trust him on a personal level. But she's never offered any proof against Alan Dershowitz. So an accusation given without proof remains just that, an accusation. And that's what I'm trying to differentiate. You have accusations that are made without proof. That would be the Alan Dershowitz example. You have theories that are given that misstate and misrepresent events that actually did happen. I would give the 9/11 thermite theory that category, because people are aware of who these artists were, right? The Austrian artists who came and 2 years earlier, they did this stupid art project, and people think, oh, it's a bunch of thermite. Why was the thermite only located on one floor of the World Trade Center? That would be the bigger question. That wouldn't be enough to take it down, by the way. And by the way, it was the detonators they were saying were up there. Well, why put detonators in only one location? They didn't see any photos of them in any other location in the World Trade Center. So that would be an accusation made that actually misrepresents true events. And then you also have what I would call credible theories that nevertheless lack like conclusive proof, like some of the JFK assassination theories, the theory that Sam Giancana murdered JFK. There is also the theory that it was the Cuban government. There's the theory it was the CIA. All of these are plausible theories given JFK's long list of enemies. But the real conclusion is unavailable because nobody has come forward to offer the smoking gun that this group actually did execute the Kennedy assassination, so as opposed to Lee Harvey Oswald, who was arrested in the vicinity of the assassination. By the way, just so you're clear about this, I definitely doubt the official narrative regarding Lee Harvey Oswald. It's just you can't conclude which alternative theory was actually correct because there is no ironclad evidence that supports one over the other. Usually, I think like the best theory, which is not really, again, not really authoritative, is that it was the mafia, because the person who murdered Lee Harvey Oswald was a mafia associate. So there you go. I think that's about it. I think that you can judge for yourself that the media is doing its utmost best to say, well, we don't really have any evidence of anything here. So it's all much about do about nothing. No, when you minimize stuff, when you hide details, lies by omission, you know, playing semantics, that is not nothing to see here. This is deliberately trying to obstruct and obfuscate the truth. That's why you need to help me and subscribe and share this and get the word out to really think critically, read critically, and say to yourself, I can see through their lies and I can craft the truth using my own mental powers. Please like, share, and subscribe. You can also find me on Minds and Gab if you want to just chat once in a while. You can find me on BitChute, Subscribestar, obviously, if you want to donate. You can find me on Odyssey and Rumble. My newsletter you can subscribe to below. And you can also find my Telegram channel. And have a great night. God bless.